Chapter 17. I checked the mirror from the Lorans again. Though the blackened surface just reflected falling leaves, and that only a few minutes had passed since the last time I'd looked. I had waited with my girls by my side for most of the day. Hours had passed by in slow drops of sand, and my patience grew thin.
I'm going to ask when the chief constable will see us, I huffed.
I'm sure he'll be with us soon,
Janel said, as she laid a hand on my forearm and gave it a squeeze.
I doubt it,
Taslin grumbled while she flipped another page. Her long black dress was draped over her legs. The slit in the skirt opened just enough to hint at her muscular thighs, and the hood of her cloak was pulled over her head with her ears poking through the slits she had cut into them. She looked relaxed with her book balanced on her knee, but when her amber eyes flicked up to meet mine, I could see her irritation.
"Why don't we eat something?"
Nora asked in the deeper voice of her male disguise. "That's a good idea," I said. "I'm getting hungry." As if in response, my stomach gave a loud growl that got the attention of a few of the passerby. The rumbling settled after a few seconds, but the pain of hunger stayed for a little longer, and I put my hand over my stomach to calm the silent gurgles that had continued.
"What would you like to eat?"
the djinn asked with a twinkle in her eyes. "Is it safe for you to use your magic here?" I asked, and then I glanced around the city watch station. There were watchmen everywhere, their uniforms in varied states of scruffiness, though almost all of them looked like they could fall asleep where they stood or sat. The police had desks in other rooms that I had scoped out during our long stay, but it seemed most of them liked to meander around the halls rather than sit.
"My current form should be sufficient,"
Nora whispered.
"I look nothing like any of the males that were freed. They'll only suspect that I'm a student who majors in conjuring, which is not entirely wrong."
She gave me a wink and a smirk. "All right," I responded. I knew she was right, but I still checked with Ferrex as she snapped her fingers to summon us lunch. The little Shamrosh had been on edge ever since we entered the place, though we hadn't picked up anyone in particular as a threat, and I decided he just didn't like being there any more than I did. He raised his hackles a little as a few people looked our way, but he didn't start to growl, so I shrugged and figured we were fine. Our lunch laid on a small wooden table in front of us. Bright red silk tablecloth kept the hot plates from the surface of the wood, and there were small bread trenchers for us to fill. There were meat pies that smelled of beef and vegetables and sage, a variety of fruits and cheeses, and chicken pieces cooked in garlic and rosemary. "Thank you," I grinned at her as I reached for one of the bread trenchers and then stared as I tried to decide where I wanted to start. Janel didn't seem to have that same problem, and my beautiful elven-born bride filled her own trencher with fruits, cheeses, and a piece of chicken. Her green eyes were bright as she slid back into her seat, and then she crossed her long legs to use them as a makeshift table.
"You're truly amazing,"
she moaned after she took the first bite of a white, creamy cheese.
"I live to serve my masters,"
Nora smiled, and her cheeks reddened as she dipped her head to hide her pleasure.
"Thank you,"
Taslin said while she filled her trencher with chicken and one meat pie.
"Though, do you think I might be able to get a salad?"
"Of course,"
my gin lover snapped her fingers, and a side salad of spinach, strawberries, blueberries, and blue cheese appeared on the empty seat next to the foxwoman. I finally decided on a meat pie, though I did grab a few pieces of fruit, and a couple different types of cheese that I hadn't seen before. I groaned when I took the first bite of the same creamy white cheese that Janel had eaten. It coated my tongue. The richness was the most delicious thing I had ever tasted, though I needed something to wash it down with, so I ate a piece of an orange.
"Would anyone like some bean brew?"
Nora asked, after she took a few bites of her own meat pie. "Yes," I replied. "Maybe a gallon of it." The smell of freshly brewed bean brew filled the air around us. The aroma spread into the rest of the room, and much to my chagrin, the scent drew more attention than we had already gathered. I took a bite of the meat pie next, the sage mixed with the beef, while the gravy added the needed moisture to the dry crust. I ate the small handheld pastry in only a few bites, but I resisted the urge to stuff another one in my mouth as I tried another cheese.
"Did you like the pie?"
Nora asked.
"I retrieved them from the king's kitchen."
She gave me a wink and a saucy grin that warmed my heart. It's delicious, I answered.
If someone doesn't come to see us soon, we may find out what they taste like in the actual palace.
Taz muttered. Her tail swished behind her irritably, and her ears twitched back. If they haven't come to get us in the next hour, then we'll go home and think of another plan, I reassured her.
They're looking over at us more,
Janel commented.
Ever since Noor, summoned us food. They may decide we're worth the effort now that they know we're mages and not just kids.
Anything to be of service to my masters,
Nora said.
I can summon more if you think that'll help.
I looked toward the front desk. The elvenborn we had checked in with was still there, but he watched us closer than he had been before. I smiled, then I lifted my hand at him in greeting before I went back to my lunch. I poured myself a cup of bean brew and then sat back in the chair to wait for someone to say something. A minotaur was escorted in from the street with two humans on either side of him, and chains around his massive wrists that glowed with a magical binding inscription. The giant creature's horns almost reached the 8-foot ceilings. His bare shoulders were almost the combined width of the two watchmen who brought him in, though they slumped in with the cuffs stealing his strength. My heart thumped faster as his head swiveled to take in his surroundings, and for a second I thought I recognized him from the group that had picked up the black powder from my lab, but his eyes didn't linger on me for long.
"Sorry to bother you," a young, thin human with gaunt cheeks said as he shuffled over to us. He had chains on his wrists but no guards, and I wondered what it was that he had been charged with.
Could I have one of the meat pies?
His eyes devoured the food hungrily like he hadn't eaten in days. Of course, I grinned at him.
You can take as many as you want. I think we've eaten our fill.
I'm done, dear.
Janel smiled.
You should try some of the cheese and fruit as well.
Oh, thank you,
the man exclaimed, before he started to pile food onto the bread trencher that Nora summoned for him. I watched him shuffle over to a seat on the other side of the room, still in view of the front desk, and then he began to stuff his face with the delicious food. I couldn't hear the groan he let out, but by the way he shut his eyes, then licked his fingers, I knew it was probably the best meal the young man had had in a long time, mostly because anything Nora made was the best thing I'd ever tasted.
"The chief constable will see you now,"
an older elvenborn grunted as he came to stand in front of us. He had short-cropped silver hair and fine lines around his eyes and mouth that made me think he probably smiled a lot more than he currently was. His robes were a plain black that hid his arms and yards of fabric, though they were hemmed well enough that I could see his well-worn leather shoes. "Thank you," I said with a tight smile. "Nor, can you do something with our lunch table?"
"I can send it back to the school,"
the djinn said as she concentrated on the table. Her mouth moved like it was a spell, and then the table with the remaining food disappeared as if it had never been there. "I was starting to wonder if we were going to have to come back tomorrow," I remarked, as we all started to follow the older man.
"The chief constable is a busy man," the officer said. "You're lucky he's even seeing you."
"We appreciate his time,"
Janel purred as she slipped her hand into mine. The man led us around the wall with the front desk and into a long hallway that stretched out into the back of the building. The only light in the area was from a few wall sconces, and there was only one door in the entire corridor. When he stopped in front of it, I took a deep breath, and then I waited as he knocked.
"Come in,"
a man's voice came from inside.
"Remember your manners," the elvenborn officer warned us. "He could have you locked up in 3 shakes if you insult him."
"Thanks for the advice,"
Taz sneered, but Janel placed a hand on her shoulder.
"My parents would never allow such an indignity,"
Janel whispered to her. "And neither would I added. The office he revealed was a large square thing with high ceilings and rafters that reminded me of the squad room, and it was complete with a desk manned by an elvenborn. The floor was stone, but there was a thin red rug that stretched over most of the space. Except for the medals and awards behind the desk, the walls were completely bare, and they were painted a dull gray that reminded me of the cells I had seen. The chief constable was a middle-aged elvenborn with pure black hair, a clean-shaven, square jawline, and a frown on his thin lips. His dark eyes had bags under them that were probably permanent, and despite the cup of bean brew that steamed next to a stack of paper, he held back a yawn as we came into his domain.
"Come in and take a seat," the man grumbled.
I hear you have some hot gossip about crime for me.
He motioned to the four chairs in front of his desk. Two of them had leather and matched his own, but the other two were exact twins to the ones we had just left in the lobby. Yes, sir, I said as I sat. Though it's not gossip. I waited as the ladies joined me, while the elven-born officer who had escorted us shut the door behind him, and we were sealed inside with a man who held our fate in his hands. I was suddenly nervous that he wouldn't believe us, though the evidence we had against the Korlems was foolproof. But his frown tipped up into a smile, and I felt myself relax. Taz, I asked through our psychic link, will you watch his aura? I'm sure he's fine, but I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Of course,
she responded, and when I glanced over at her, I could see the way her pupils dilated as she began to take in the man's aura.
Well, what is the news? He asked.
We have proof that the House of Korlem has been running an underground criminal ring, I said. And they're conspiring to commit treason by selling the Iron Dwarves war machines, black powder, and any other supplies they need to attack the River Kingdoms. The Chief Constable's eyes widened as he listened, and I thought I saw a flash of fear deep within them. He reached over for his bean brew, then he took a long swig of the liquid with a grimace as the heat burned his throat. After he had swallowed, he set it down, and then he steepled his fingers in front of him as he gathered his thoughts.
I can't see his aura,
Taz grumbled. Should we be worried? I asked, as I glanced over at the redhead next to me.
I'm not sure,
she muttered, and I caught a flash of irritation as she tried to find his hidden aura.
He may have something that hides his energy so that he can't be manipulated.
The Korlebs are a powerful family, the Elvenborn hedged. And that is a serious charge. The Iron Dwarves haven't been seen in these parts in hundreds of years. They're hiding in their high mountain caves.
He put his hands down and clenched them together, closed his eyes, and then took a deep breath. I've seen the Iron Dwarves in the city with my own eyes, I told him.
You must have seen some other dwarves and mistaken them for Iron Dwarves.
He waved his hand at me with a sympathetic grin.
You humans have poor vision.
I assure you, I said through gritted teeth as I ignored the snub, it was Iron Dwarves that I saw.
You can't be right, he mumbled while he ran his hand through his ebony hair. There's no way the Iron Dwarves are hiding in my city. We'd have seen them.
He'll change his mind once I show him the recording, I huffed.
Of course he will,
my vixen girlfriend soothed.
It makes sense that he doesn't want to believe the Iron Dwarves are in the city. It means he's failed to protect his citizens from the biggest threat we've ever known, especially if a noble elven-born family is helping.
What proof do you have?
The chief said when I had been silent for too long.
I know you wouldn't accuse the Korlebs of treason without that.
I have a recording, I said, my voice even, and my eyes met with his as I waited for his response.
And how did you get this recording? The man questioned.
That's not important, I said. What is that I have proof that the Iron Dwarves have been in your city and that the Korlems are conspiring to sell them weapons.
I think I just saw his aura flare, but it was too fast for me to recognize,
Taz said. He's probably nervous, I said, while I watched the man in front of me carefully. This is not exactly something he could have expected to hear today, but keep an eye out anyways.
All right, the elven-born man sighed, and then he forced a smile on his face. Let's say I believe you. Where's this proof of yours?
His eyes swept over me as he took another swig of his cooling bean brew. I slipped my hand into the inside of my jacket pocket and felt as my fingers brushed against my bag of soul gems before they wrapped around the chain of the locket. I pushed back on the surge of panic that gripped my heart, but so far no one had realized that I had them, though I hadn't had a reason to use my magic, and I hoped I wouldn't need to. Here it is, I said, as I pulled the locket out. The chain dangled from my fingertips, and the mirror caught in the light.
A spy mirror?
He asked as he held out his hand.
Yes,
I answered, and then I handed the amulet to Taslin instead. Taslin can activate it for you. Is there a way you can skip the parts in the laboratory and just go straight to when I got in the carriage? I asked.
Yes,
she said as she took the spy mirror.
All right,
the chief said, and then he took a deep, steadying breath.
That'll give me a chance to write up the report. I gotta admit, I hope you're just pulling a prank.
It's not a prank, I said. The middle-aged Elvenborn nodded and shuffled through his papers until he found what he was looking for, swore under his breath as he tried to find his pencil, and then started the search for the missing utensil. He opened and shut several drawers before, with a triumphant grunt, he found an old lead.
"Here we go, then," he smiled. "Let's start with who you are, names and residence. Then we'll get to your complaint."
"Do we have to give you our names?" I asked. "You can understand that we don't want this getting back to the Corlems."
"We'll keep it discreet," he responded with a solemn nod.
"Still, like you said, the Corlems are a powerful family," I hedged.
"I'm sorry,"
he sighed and gave me a sympathetic smile.
"We need your name and address. The ladies can keep theirs private, but we need at least one complaining witness."
"It's Zair," I said. "I live in the academic district. It's a big pink mansion near the wall."
"Pink, huh?"
he asked with a lifted eyebrow and a smirk. "It's my wife's favorite color," I told him.
"Of course."
He bobbed his head, then wrote down my information.
"Any last name?"
"No," I said.
"All right. Though I thought most of you humans took your profession as your last name."
"My parents are bakers," I explained. "But I'm studying battle magic."
"Magic?"
His eyes shot up to peruse me again.
"You know, I thought I heard about a human with magic. Didn't think that rumor was true."
"It is," I guaranteed.
"And you're using it to reveal traitors to the kingdom?"
He whistled and shook his head as he jotted more notes down.
"You're a credit to your species."
"We may need to get out of town after this," I told Taslin. "If that detective starts to sniff around again, he may be able to tie all of the murders to me. The Corlems will also be looking for who betrayed them, and it won't take too much effort for them to figure out it was me."
"We can go for another hunt,"
Taz responded.
"I'm sure your new wife would enjoy testing out the wedding present I gave her."
"She read it in bed the other night. She's thrilled to find more magical creatures. I think she said something about trying to find mermaids. Though, after the Naki, I'm not sure how eager I will be to hunt them."
"Don't worry,"
my vixen lover teased.
"We'll tie you to the mast, if needed, while we take care of the creatures."
"And what if they lure you in?" I asked with a sideways glance and a smirk.
"I've heard some sailors put wax in their ears,"
she mused.
"All right,"
the chief said as he looked up from his paper.
"Let's see this proof of yours."
I turned my attention back to the Elvenborn that sat across the desk from me. The way he held the lead in his hand and the bags under his eyes that seemed to be bigger than when we had first come in. I felt bad for the man. His life was about to become much more difficult, and I was the bearer of that bad news. "Sure," I said. "Taslin, would you mind?"
"Of course,"
she replied. Her petal-pink lips moved as she spoke the spell that would play the recording, though when the mist rose from the miniature mirror's surface, it depicted the moment I got in the carriage rather than when I pulled it out from the shower in my laboratory. She held the locket up so the scene could play out where all of us could see it, though she kept it just out of reach from the chief constable in case he decided to grab it for himself. I watched again as I was blindfolded, the steady rocking of the carriage and the streets that passed outside of the windows. I looked for any sign of my face, any reflection to show that it had been me that recorded the meeting. But thankfully there were no windows near where I entered the laboratory.
"Is there sound?"
the chief asked, as I began to make the black powder. "No," I said, "but you can clearly see K. Corlem."
"And what about these iron dwarves?" he wondered. "All I see is short men in hoods."
He squinted his dark eyes at the recording as he tried to see the faces beneath the hoods. "Just wait," I assured him. I watched as more light poured onto the scene as the orbs floated down in the recording. And for a second, I thought that my face could be seen in a reflection from a glass beaker, but the image passed before I could tell. I glanced at the Elvenborn across from me, but he didn't reveal anything, so I took a deep breath and turned my attention back to the amulet.
"Impossible!"
the chief gasped. His jaw clenched as he looked at the illuminated faces of the iron dwarves, their gleaming black faces like stone,
and their beards unmistakable. He tore his eyes from the recording and then started to write down everything. "That should be enough," I told Taslin. "I don't want to risk him seeing my face. He might decide to arrest me rather than the Korlems." Taz gave me a small nod before she whispered the words to end the recording. Her dilated pupils still focused on the chief constable, even as the mist retracted into the mirror of the amulet. She narrowed her eyes and pursed her petal-pink lips, and the emotions I could feel from our bond were wary.
"I still can't see anything,"
she told me.
"But he seems to believe us."
"The recording is the best proof we could give him," I said as I tried to keep my heartbeat normal. "I just hope he does something about it."
"I'm sure he will,"
she said.
"We'll have to wait and see. But I'm sure he'll take care of it. I just wish I could see his aura."
"So?"
Janna asked from my other side. Her melodic voice broke the silence, and when the elven-born man looked up, I could tell that he had forgotten she was even there.
"Well, you're right. There's no denying that those were iron dwarves. In our city."
He shook his head as he tossed down the lead he had used to write the report, and then he leaned back in his chair.
"I wish you were wrong. You're really brave to get this information. There's going to be a medal for you once this is all over."
"I don't need a medal," I said. "But what are you going to do about the iron dwarves and the Korlems?"
"I'll get my best men on it," he answered.
"You're not going to handle this yourself?"
Janna asked in a sweet tone.
"I think we'd feel safer knowing that someone as wonderful as you is on the case."
"Well,"
the man blushed at the attention of my gorgeous bride,
"I would love to spend more time with it. But I have other duties that must be taken care of. And if my investigator finds out this is all true, I'm sure I'll have a lot of work to do to keep you safe."
He stood and stretched, like he had been at his desk for hours, and then he looked at all of us with a smile. He picked up the report that he had written out, skimmed everything for accuracy, and then nodded his head as if he was agreeing with himself about something. "You may want to have more than one person looking into this," I said. "I'm sure the Korlems will try to pay off whoever is involved in the investigation."
"My men are above reproach,"
the chief guaranteed, though his left eye twitched. I had to fight the urge to roll my eyes. I had seen Nura bribe his men with the fake gold at the gate with my own eyes when we followed the shipment of black powder, and I doubted that if the Korlems offered any one of them money that they wouldn't sweep it under the rug. I didn't like that he would give it to another officer. He needed to act right away, not spend days or even weeks confirming what he had seen on the amulet. But he at least believed us and would have someone investigate.
"Of course they are,"
Janel purred, as she took the middle-aged man's attention away from me.
"My husband only means that the Korlems are very powerful, and if they're willing to commit this kind of treason, they may not be above threatening your officers' families. It would be better if there were more people, would it not?"
Her words were spoken in a soft cadence like a song, and I watched as he started to agree with her every word.
"I think I have a man who could get the job done," he said. "No bribes or threats will turn him away from a case."
He blinked and shook his head, though as he refocused on us, he didn't seem to realize he'd been under the spell my wife had cast.
"Now, why don't you give me that amulet? I'll give it to my officer to authenticate. And once that's done, we can get you a reward. Your name is going to go down in history, son."
He gave me a bright smile as he reached out his hand to Taz.
"Is that necessary?" I asked. "It's the only copy of that meeting there is."
"I'm sorry, but yes," the chief said. "My officer will need to watch it for clues and evidence that will strengthen our case against the Korlems."
"Right," I said, then sighed. "You can give it to him." I nodded at Taslin, and at first she made no move to hand it to the Elvenborn. But then she reached forward and dropped it into the man's outstretched hand.
"Don't lose it,"
she warned.
"I won't," he grinned. "Now you kids go enjoy your day. Maybe have a nice dinner. You've saved not just the city, but the entire kingdom. You deserve to treat yourselves."
He looked at each of us as he stuffed the amulet into the pocket of his robes. Then he picked up the piece of paper with the report on it and walked around his desk. His back was stiff and his movements were a little jerky, like he had sat for too long in the same position.
Magic and bravery.
He shook his head in awe.
You truly are one of the most amazing humans I've ever met.
We did it, I said, as soon as the door shut behind him, though I could still hear my little Shamrosh's growl in the back of my mind. Ferrix is still on edge. I think we should go home.
I just wish I had been able to read his aura,
Taz grumbled.
It makes me think he's hiding something.
He deals with criminals all day, I said with a shrug. Of course he's hiding stuff. He believed us, and he's putting his best guy on the job. We'll keep an eye out just in case, but at the very least, he seems like he's on our side.
I'm going to make us a feast,
Nora said, as we walked back into the lobby. Then my heart skipped a beat as I saw a familiar face in the lobby.
Oh, shit,
I whispered, and then I darted back behind the wall and into the hallway.
What is it?
Janel asked, as she poked her head around.
Oh, no. The Korlems?
Taslin asked.
No, I said. The guard from the meeting. He's here. And he's in a cop's uniform.
Shit,
the fox woman hissed.
Look at his rank on his sleeve. He's a sergeant.
If he's a sergeant.
I looked back toward the chief's office as my stomach turned sour. I'm going to make sure the chief really is on our side. We may have just made a big mistake.
Be careful,
Janel warned. I pulled on Mama Skelk's power as I pictured the rafters in the chief's office. They were high in the ceiling, but I would be able to see and hear everything without being seen myself. I felt the pull of magic as I disappeared, and then I reappeared on the wooden beams. I almost slipped, but managed to hold on. I clenched my jaw to keep myself quiet, and then I adjusted so I could watch and listen. The chief looked around the room as he ran his hand through his hair, and then he plopped down into his chair with a weary sigh. He was sure that he was alone, so he fished out a plain burner mirror like the one that Mr. K had given me, and I watched in horror as he dialed the crime lord that I had just brought to him on a silver platter. Fuck, fuck, fuck!
What do you want?
Mr. K's voice came from the device.
We got a problem, the chief snapped. I've got enough problems, the crime lord retorted. Take care of it yourself.
I snuck forward on the wooden boards while I reached for the yellow power in my stone. The chief could not be allowed to tell Mr. K about that meeting, or the crime lord would know exactly who had turned him in. I also wanted to make sure that it was actually the Korlem patriarch on the mirror, and that my fear hadn't made me mistake the sound of his voice.
There are some students at the station, the middle-aged Elvenborn started. They brought information in that could blow our whole operations.
What?
Mr. K hissed.
Who are they?
Before the man could answer, I summoned the yellow light that would bend him to my will, and then I demanded that he drop the mirror and smash it to pieces. He watched in shock as the magical burner mirror fell from his hand to the floor. The reflective surface splintered when it hit the hard ground, and the call screen went black. His muscles strained against the spell when he realized what he had done, and even though he still hadn't thought to look up, I could see suspicion in his eyes. I was surprised how fast he responded, though he hadn't known I was there, so he couldn't exactly expect my attack. I held on even after he threw the silver mirror onto the ground, then swiveled in his chair and stepped on the broken pieces. I didn't want to risk his escape, and there was no way I could let him get away.
Who's there?
He snapped as he realized what had happened, and he began to struggle against the compulsion. His legs shook as he fought against slipping from his chair to kneel. But I redoubled my willpower, and soon he was on his knees behind his desk.
You won't get away with this!
I knew I had to kill him. He worked for the Korlems, and he knew enough about the Iron Dwarves to warn the criminal family. If I let go of the yellow magic, he would be able to reach out and attack me, though he hadn't thought to look up, and he might shout for someone to come and help him. I couldn't risk it. Even if I was hidden, all it would take would be someone like Tano or Taslin who could see magical auras or who thought to check the rafters, and I couldn't hide my aura with the assassin's power if I wanted to use any other magic. I thought fast. The yellow magic wouldn't last forever, but I needed to hold him until I could figure out how to kill him. If I could hold him still with Valeris's magic, then I could control his other muscles, and that included his heart. I hadn't used that much willpower before, but all I had to do was tap into Valeris's superiority and his need to dominate.
I let the raw fury that the chief constable had betrayed me and his city rush through my veins as I focused on his heart. I had come to him for help, and the selfish Elvenborn had almost turned me and my girls over to the Korlems. With a surge of power, I gripped his heart with the yellow power, and then I watched while he gasped and struggled as the organ slowed to a stop. As the rage receded, I realized that the corruption went all the way to the top, and I'd just killed one of the men on top of the city, in his office, in the middle of the police station. I knew I was in danger, and so were my women.